Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You have your Bible, your notepad. Let's get right into the Word today, the teaching of God's Word. Hold up your Bible. Let's make our confession of faith together. Every campus, here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert, and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Amen. Let's all shout and give God the praise. Can we thank Him for it today? Amen. Well, we're in a series right now, all during the month of May, on how to build resilience in difficult days. We can all agree that we're in difficult days. We can all agree that we've seen people during COVID get bitter or get better. We've seen people rise to the occasion, and we've seen people crumble before the pressure and the stress and the turmoil we've all been going through in the last year. What is the difference? What makes the difference when one makes it and one doesn't? When one quits when things get hard, and another, you know, puts forth more effort to keep on trucking, to keep on keeping on? I think it's many things, but the one we're looking at today, the topic and all month, is resilience. Resilience is defined as the ability to bounce back from a setback. The ability to bounce back from a setback. The quicker we can bounce back, and all of us, you and I are alike. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Bible says, we began our series this month with Proverbs 24:10. It says, in the day of adversity, if you faint, it's because your strength is small. Christ followers have adversity just like non-followers do. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. What does that mean? We all go through trouble, tests, and trials. We all deal with pressure, stress, and the cares of life. But the different factor for you and I as a Christ follower, we have someone helping us who can help us through everything we go through and come out better on the other side. Amen. So resilience is the ability to bounce back from a setback. And it's important you can measure your resilience today on how long it takes you to bounce back. You know, when you go through a setback or you go through a disappointment, are you in the mully grubs for 3 or 4 weeks? Do you cook your husband burnt sacrifice? You know, it means burn his meals because you want to get back at him. You know, how do we respond? How do we react to stress, care, and the worries of life? The changes, the challenges, how do we do that? Well, at Church on the Rock, we're energized by change and challenge. Those who have made it through COVID have been able to adapt and adjust quickly. Those who are struggling with a change aren't doing very well. So it's so important then that resilience is the ability to bounce back from a setback quickly, quickly. Now, I haven't arrived, nor will I ever arrive, because just when you and I think we've arrived, something shows up that shows we haven't arrived, right? Just when we think we got it all together, we get stuck in the traffic on the parking lot before we leave the church. Come on, we got to wait in line to pick up our kids in the nursery. So we're a work in progress at Church on the Rock, our faith community right here. But what we want to do is we want that molly grub season, that discouragement, disappointment, pouting, feeling sorry for ourselves, victim mentality to shorten, to not be as long as it used to be. And we want it to get shorter and shorter and shorter. You know the measure of resilience you have by how long it takes you to bounce back. So it means to adjust. It means to adapt. It means to adjust and to adapt while facing adversity. We don't run from adversity. We don't take some substance that will ruin and wreck our health, our life, our family, our career to deal with adversity. You and I face adversity, and we learn to adapt and adjust because of the greater one on the inside of us. And then what do? We learn from what we're going through, and we keep moving forward to our future. We keep moving forward to our future. Yesterday, we had our first graduating class from Southeastern University. And as I spoke yesterday, I shared a note. I shared a golden nugget with them. And I said, when you're in a storm, now this is worth coming to church for, online, whatever campus, virtual reality, wherever you're at today. When you're in a storm, remain a student. I hope you got that. When you're in a storm, and we're all in some kind of storm because you and I are just alike. When you're in a storm, remain, don't be rebellious. Don't have a victim mentality. Don't blame God. Don't blame the church. Don't blame Christians. Don't blame the Democrats, the Republicans, the Libertarians, black people, white people, brown people, smart people, dumb people, rich people. Don't blame. You'll be lame, right? So when you're in a storm, remain a student. What does that mean? Be a lifelong learner. God, what can I learn from this right now? What can I take away from this right now so I'll be stronger and smarter and sharper? How can I develop my skill set? How can I work on my personality? How can I work on my education? How can I get more wisdom? How can I be a better people person? How can I learn from this adversity? If you and I remain a student in the storm, we're going to come through it, and we're going to come out on the other side of the storm successful. In Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? So we're looking at that, and you won't find resilience in the Bible if you're looking for that, but you will find its sister, and it's the word courage. Can you say that with me? Courage. So courage is the Bible word for resilience. Courage. The last few weeks, we've been looking at Joshua as an example of resilience. And we've been studying his life, and here's what I know, and I know that you know that if you've been at this church very long, that if you want to win, you study winners. You don't study losers. If you want to win, you study winners. If you want to get better at your business, your walk with God, your marriage, your parenting, you want to find people who've done what you want to do, and they've done it successfully. You want to learn to win from winners. So that saves us a whole truckload of misery and wrong mistakes. So we've been looking at Joshua, and we've been learning from his story in the Bible, and we're not done. But today I want to jump to Joseph in the Bible. Now, Joseph, I love the story of Joseph. If you want to study his story, you want to go deeper and further, and I hope you do, it's in Genesis chapter 37, to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis 37 to Genesis chapter 50. That's the life of Joseph. In Genesis 37, you see him as a 17-year-old teenage boy. All right? And in Genesis 37, you find out that he's a dreamer. Joseph is a dreamer. And you find out that he shared his dream with the wrong people, his family. Right? And he had a dysfunctional family. And his brothers were jealous of the dreams that he was dreaming. But a little side note, it was his gift of dreaming that brought him before Pharaoh. His gift made room for him. It was his gift of being able to dream and interpret dreams that took him from the pit to prison to the palace. It was his gift. I talked about this yesterday in the graduation ceremony to the graduates. It was his gift. He had this gift of dreaming and interpreting dreams. And eventually, that's what made room for him. Isn't there a scripture in the Bible that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great opportunities? So develop your gift, discover your gift. I don't know what it is. Go through our growth track and we'll help you find out what your gift is. Now, many people in life will misunderstand your gift. Many people in life will not be able to discern your gift. Many people in life, like Joseph, they will attack your gift because they think you might have the wrong motive behind the gift. But develop that gift that God gave you, because like Joseph, it'll bring you before great men and open doors for you. It's called favor. Favor. And so we see that eventually his gift, the ability to dream a dream and interpret dreams, took him from the pit to the prison to the palace to the greatest nation on the planet, Egypt, at that time. And he became the second most powerful man on the planet next to Pharaoh. Amazing. It's a wonderful story, and we want to look at it because he faced all kinds of adversity, more than you and I will probably ever face, and he came out on the other side advancing. He didn't quit. You'll find nowhere a negative remark from Joseph in his story from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. You won't find him bellyaching, a victim mentality, blaming God, blaming Potiphar, even blaming his family. Because at the very end, he had learned to live with forgiveness. At the very end, he had forgiven his family for all that they had done for him so that God could favor and bless him and multiply his life. So looking at the life of Joseph is amazing in the area of resilience, the ability to bounce back from a setback, adversity. So I want to look at his life today, and I've got to do it quickly, but it's so important as you study his life and as you look at Genesis 37 to Genesis 50, you'll find two phrases that are repeated continually in his life. You see, if you want to win, study winners. So he was resilient, and he didn't quit when tough times came. He didn't give up when adversity came, disappointment, misunderstanding, attack, persecution, lied about. He kept on trucking. He kept on keeping on. He didn't give up. He was resilient. He faced adversity, and he adapted, and he made adjustments, and he kept moving forward to God's dream for his life. Y'all still with me so far? The two phrases in the Bible that are repeated is this. Number one, you'll see it continually in those chapters. He remembered the dream. Can you say that with me, every campus? He remembered the dream. One more time. He remembered the dream. Over there in the drive-in church, he remembered the dream. What do we learn from that? If you're going to have, and I'm going to have, and we are, and build our resilience, we've got to have a dream from God. We've got to be a dreamers and dream builders. We've got to have a dream and a dream from God. We've got to have a reason to keep on keeping on. People with a dream and a purpose, I went on the internet, I put that in, the power of a purpose, and it listed this, they live longer. Yeah, me, who's not techie, my grandson helps me with this, amen. And I just put that into the computer, on the internet. It said, people with a dream live longer. Number two, it said, people with a dream make more money. Number three, it said, Pastor, slow down. I can't. Your stuff in the food truck's molding out there. People with a dream not only live longer and make more money, they have better relationships. Better relationships. And the list went on. You can do it for yourself. There were seven things there of the perks of a person who's a dreamer and a dream builder. It builds resilience. It builds resilience. It builds that ability to face adversity, adjust and adapt, and keep on learning and moving forward to God's dream for your life. Amen. So the first one was, he remembered the dream. So I wouldn't forget that, a dream. Why has Kim and I been here 38 years and we're just midlife right now, should the Lord tarry? What keeps us going? Because every day I remember the dream. And we haven't achieved and accomplished all that God wants for Church on the Rock. We've just begun. You remember the dream. Now, your dream will be attacked. Your dream will be misunderstood. Your dream will be persecuted. Your dream will try to fade. Your dream will, you know, you'll fight over that dream. But you've got to remember your God-given dream. Number two, the second phrase that you'll see from Genesis 37 to Genesis chapter 50, you'll see it. Now, if you want to win, learn from winners. I'm not going to go to somebody and ask for marital counseling who hasn't had a successful house and home. I'm not going to go ask somebody how to build a business who's never done it. I'm not going to ask somebody how to be in ministry who has never been successful in ministry. No, you win from winners. And Joseph was and is a winner. And we're learning from him this weekend on the resilience that he had with the adversity that he went through. The second phrase you'll see continually through his life is this: and the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. I love that. It actually says, and the Lord was with him in prison, and he gained favor in prison. And then is that, before that, the Lord was with him in Potiphar's house, and the Lord gave him favor. And then when he went before Pharaoh, you'll see it. The first one is, I forgot, what was the first phrase? You see, he remembered the dream. And then secondly was, and the Lord was with him. We sang it today. Ellie led it in us today. If you realize that God is for you, God is with you, look at our mission, telling people God is for you. Joseph knew that God was for him. God had a dream for his life. So he kept pushing. He kept possessing. He kept overcoming. Nothing. He was unstoppable. Because he had a dream from God. And because he had the anointing, he had the presence. In his presence is fullness of murmuring. Oh, thank you. Praise God. Take correction. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence. So that means that the more you and I get in his presence, how do you do that, Pastor? Through praise and worship. That's one way. The more we get in his presence, the more we will have that inner strength. That in the day of adversity, you and I won't faint because our strength is strong. What's another definition of resilience? It's courage. But remember, it's an inner strength. It's an inside job. It's an inner strength that leads to bold action. It's an inner strength that leads to bold action. Just like the prayer request we heard of the one that said, I have this job for 19 years. I'm getting ready to transition. Because seriously, you know this, right? A lot of jobs are going bye-bye because there's going to be a robot take your job. Seriously, AI, you need to be awake, tuned with God, led by God, listen to God, because there's going to be a lot of transformation. But if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will direct your path. And he'll crown your new career with success. Amen? Because of Church on the Rock, we're energized by change and challenge. Pastor, when are you going to get in the Word? Right now. Y'all ready? All right, so I'm going to come over here. And I had to set it up for success, okay? This is a reference to Joseph, Psalm 105, verse 17. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph. Whoa. You know God has sent you ahead? What does that mean? To be a trailblazer? To be a pioneer? Just like our charging stations. I don't know any church in town that's doing that for electric cars. Just like a lot of things that we're doing. To God be the glory. VR church. I don't. But see, we've always been that way. That's the anointing on our church, and so that's the anointing on you. If this is your church community, then what's on me is on you. What's on this church is on you. Avail yourself to it. You do that by respect and reverence and appreciation, and y'all do that. You're awesome. But he sent someone to St. Peter's ahead of them. He sent someone to St. Louis, Dallas, New York, Los Angeles, Switzerland. He sent someone to Ireland, to the UK. We have people all over the world. He sent you ahead. What's that called? Leadership. The leader goes first. You blaze the trail. You pioneer. Joseph, who was sold as a slave, didn't look like it, did it? He sent him ahead, but he came as a slave. I mean, you talk about adversity. You talk about circumstances against him. But the good news is this, my brother and sister, is the circumstances that are around you and me today, this too shall come to pass. Next verse, guys, help me out today. They bruised his feet, this is adversity, with fetters, and they placed his neck in an iron collar. What's that? A prison? Injustice, misunderstanding, persecution, opposition. But notice he didn't blame. He wasn't a victim mentality. They bruised his feet. This is adversity. This is resilience. They placed his neck. They tried to confine him. They tried to restrain him. They tried to stop him. He was unstoppable because he remembered the dream. And the Lord was with him. Next verse. Until the time, until the time came, you know, God has a timing for your life. God has a timing for my life. For every season, there's a time, right? There's a time. Until the time, and you know, here's what I found out. You and I are alike. I think you agree. God's time has never been my time. Don't look, come on now. Let me feel some love here today. I'm always ahead of God. Three of us are always ahead of God. Until the time came to fulfill. God wants to fulfill the dream he put in your life. Don't let hard times steal your God-given dream. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams. Looky, looky, looky. In the Bible, it would say, behold. The Lord tested Joseph's, I can't hear you. To quote Gomer Pyle, that theologian, Shazam. Do you see the word character? The Holy Spirit's giving us insight now. Joseph, how did he do that? It was 17. He wasn't on the palace until 30. What got him through? What gave him resilience? What gave him stick-to-itiveness? What gave him the ability to adjust and adapt to adversity? What gave him that, I'm not going to quit? What gave him that attitude? Well, he remembered the dream. And what else? He made sure that in his house, it was a worship center. Make your house a worship center. Make your house a house of refuge for hurting people. So what did he do? He had the presence of the Lord. And then what else did he have? Here's his secret sauce. You know, the other day, Daniel and Tamara had cooked something. It's my daughter-in-law. She had cooked something. Daniel brought it out. After he worked out, I said, ooh, this is good. Daniel, what is this? Dad, this is a new spice that Tamara got. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Put that on there. Ooh, that was so good. I got to get me some of that spice. What is the secret spice and the secret sauce that can make your life the best life? Your character. Character got him through a crisis. I've taught our staff during COVID, what's going to get our church through is character, culture, and connection. Character, culture, and connection would get our church through strong, and we'd all come out better on the other side. What was this all about? God developing his character. Because at 17, he wasn't ready for what God wanted to do when he was 30 in the palace. And you don't want to arrive before you're ready. Because you can't handle it. I can't handle the pressure, the stress, and the problems. The bigger the purpose, the bigger the problems. Well, I sure do love y'all. And I like you. I'm new to the church. What is he on today? I'm on God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Kim and I have been married 48 years. The first 2 years, we loved each other, but we didn't like each other. Come on, you know what that's about. You know, Pastor, I love him, but I don't like him. Well, I like y'all and love y'all at the same time. Amen? So look, what is he doing? He's working on your character and my character. So that's why I know now why Pastor taught that in the graduation, and Pastor's teaching that now with all the campuses all over the world. Now I know why he said in a storm, remain a student. What's that? Lifelong learner. What's that? Being teachable, moldable, shapeable, right? He's the potter, right? Right? We're the clay. He's the potter. We're the clay. We're on the wheel. He's purging us. He's molding. He's shaping. How does he do that, Pastor? Through people. Through problems. Through pressure. Through pain. Don't waste your pain. God didn't send it, but remain a student in it and don't waste it. Use it to help other people who are in pain. I got to hustle. Until the time he came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Oh my goodness. So God's working on our character. So character, what does it do? It builds resilience, right? Next page, guys, if you'll help me out. No. Whoa, that's way. No. I had a whole bunch of other stuff. Maybe I got to go old school and use my yellow pad. I got a backup. Praise God. We're supposed to go. Well, we are supposed to go there. Guess what? I just made a mistake. I think it's the first one. They were right and I was wrong. I'm going to remain a student. You're right, guys. I'm wrong. Forgive me. Pastor, I don't know. Got to forgive me if you want to go to heaven. Okay, Genesis, you're all right, guys. Genesis 50. I'm just thinking about the time, looking at the clock. Now, here's at the end, okay? Here's when he's in the palace. And here's at the end. And here's what he says to his family who hurt him, misunderstood him, tried to kill him, made him a slave, disowned him. He says to his brothers, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are this day. Remember, God sent him ahead, but it didn't look like it. God sent him ahead, but it didn't look like it. 38 years ago, when God sent Kim and I here to the St. Peter's Library with 35 people, it didn't look like this. And God put a dream in your heart today. It may not look like it's coming past today, but don't be moved by how you feel or what you see or what you hear. Come on. He remembered the dream. He was in the presence of God, and he was letting God build his character. And he said, there'll come a day that my family will live out of my overflow. Oh, my goodness. Don't miss that. Next verse, guys. Right on. Now, therefore, he's telling his brothers who tried to kill him, don't be afraid. I will provide for you. I will support our family. He comforted them, imparting cheer, hope. Look at this. Imparting. They're living out of his overflow. Because of his resilience and he didn't give up, his dream affected his family. The next generation left a legacy. And he comforted them, imparting cheer, hope, and strength. And he spoke into their hearts kindly. Next verse, guys, I'm going to let you. Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Now, remember, you all know what's going on here. Remember his dream? He had a dream of seven skinny cows and seven fat cows. And the seven fat cows was when things were good. You provide for the seven skinny cows of famine. When he's talking to a family right now, his household, his family, there's a famine 2 years into Egypt. And the rest of the world, people are dealing with famine and wickedness. Catch this now. This is my major point. The rest of the world is dealing with famine. There will be a remnant. The rest of the world is dealing with famine, inflation, recession, heartache, and wickedness. Next verse, guys. This is from the NLT. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Next verse. Don't be afraid. I'll continue to take care of you. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Next, guys. So Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt. Joseph lived in the age of 10. Next page, whatever we got, guys. You tried to harm me, but God made it turn out for the... Okay, now I chose that for the word best. In the midst of the world right then, there was a famine in the land. There was even a famine everywhere, wickedness and famine. But yet, because of Joseph's resilience, that he just wouldn't quit when things got hard. He knew that he was called to go ahead for his family. Lead the way when they weren't following. Lead the way when they weren't agreeing. Lead the way when they misunderstood him. He was leading the way. And eventually, out of his overflow, his commitment, his resilience, he was going to take care of them in a place called Goshen. It was the best in the land of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. What am I saying? If you and I will build our resilience and we'll go first and we'll lead our family, we'll make an impact on the next generation and leave a legacy, then our family will live on the overflow. And where the world is getting wickeder, excuse my English, and where there's a famine in the land, God will place you in a place where you'll have your best life, a land called Goshen. Next verse, guys. Next verse, as the team comes out, don't be afraid. I'll take care of you and your children. And Joseph said this, his brothers felt much better. Next, guys. Praise God. Joseph lived in Egypt with his brothers until he died at age 110. Next page, guys. Romans 8:28. I'm going to close with this. I didn't get very far. Can I finish next week? We all come back, all the campuses, because we want to find out exactly what he did. But we know he remembered the dream. And we know he wanted the presence of God in his car, in his truck, in his house. And we know that he let God work on his character. And in the midst of it, in Genesis 37, Genesis 50, you won't find him complaining anywhere or blaming anybody. What's that called? Character. Character promotes us and gets the favor of God on our lives. Now, here's the New Testament verse for what I just read to you in Genesis 50. And we know, you got to know this. You got to know this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You got to know this, that all things, God's not behind all things, but God will take all things, working together. You got to have this mindset. You must have this mindset. I don't understand what's going on, but I know God is working everything out. God's working behind the scenes for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, this means I've got to put my life in God's control. Have you done that yet? On all the campuses, if you haven't turned your marriage, your ministry, your job, your career, your future, the hurt, the pain, the past, the present. You got to put God in what? Control. Help me out now. You got to put God in control. You got to put God in control. Now, he's not in control unless I put him in control. So Romans 8:28 is God in control. Right, everybody? Romans 8:29 is God's ultimate goal. Romans 8:29 is God's ultimate goal in this journey called life. Can we see it real quick, guys? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. It's called destiny. What is your goal, God? God, when we put you in control, verse 28, that gives resilience. We sang it today. When our faith is in Jesus, it's a solid foundation. See how all the songs go with the message. For whom he did foreknow, he predestinated. So this verse is God's ultimate goal. This is the goal of Christianity, not to be weird, not to be religious, not to be judgmental, not to hurt people. But this is God's ultimate goal. What is that? Working on our character. That's God's ultimate goal. So that our character would be conformed into the character of Christ. That's God's ultimate goal. For who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the character or the image or the pattern or the example of Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many who are to follow after him. What is God? Once we put God in control and we realize we have the mindset, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand, God, why it's taking so long. I don't understand the problem, the changes, the transition, the challenges, the misunderstandings. I don't understand. But God, I put it all in your control. And I have the mindset that you're going to work everything out for my good. And then, God, now I know what's going on, God. You're working on my character like you worked on Joseph's character. Don't you know at the beginning he was hurt by his family at age 17? Don't you know he wanted to get back at his family at age 17? But 13 years later, at age 30, second most powerful person on the planet, he had forgiven his family for the hurt and the pain. And so it's character that gets us through hard times. Somebody said, we find out who we are when we're under pressure, right? We find out who we are when we're under pressure. It's when we're under pressure, God forms us. God develops us. He's the potter, we're the clay. Amen, everybody? So we see, as we get ready to stand, worship, and close, we see that he remembered the dream. We see that he wanted the presence of God, even in the prison. He worked on the presence of God. That's our praise life. It's our worship life. It's our daily, have a little talk with Jesus. Call him up on the main line. Yeah. And then what? He had a student mentality. He had the right mindset. God, I don't understand, but you're in control because I put you in control, God. And God, your ultimate goal is that I become not weird or flaky, but I become more like Christ every day of my life. In Jesus' name.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.